Hi, everybody, and a warm welcome to a brand new episode of The Joy of Logistics. And appreciate you, and thank you so much for taking your time today and for joining us again. As always, pleasure coming to you, and it's a pleasure to talk about some very interesting and important developments within logistics, which is, as you know, very big and broad field, so to speak. You know, there's a lot happening. So once again, I appreciate everybody. Thank you so much for joining. And just in case, maybe it's the first time for you around on The Joy of Logistics, and you're asking yourself, okay, who's this Christoph guy, and what is actually The Joy of Logistics? You know. Which is a fair enough question, obviously. My name is Christoph. I'm your host. I'm the host of the Joy of Logistics series, podcast series. And I've been in this industry, or in the logistics industry, now for a decade. And with everything changing so fast and a lot of different challenges we are facing all across the globe, basically, I created this series, or this episode, this podcast series, The Joy of Logistics, in order to share a light on different companies, different people, especially out of the box solutions. And one of the goals, or probably the goal of this podcast series, is to to spread the word and to share knowledge. Right. And if you've been following now quite some time, you know that there is a lot to be learned, you know, and fantastic conversations as always. And this will be definitely one for today as well. Another informational blockbuster, so to speak, to which I've been looking forward to now for quite some time, actually, because obviously you're reading a lot. And that's also the reason why I created, or another reason why I created this podcast series is, of course you can read so many things, but where do we talk to an expert, right? Someone who knows what's going on. And today's topic, as you already seen on LinkedIn, we're talking about sustainable aviation, so to speak. So we are not just leaping into the future, because it's actually something that is available as of today, as we speak. And actually, I'm very proud and very happy to have an expert guest on that. So without further ado, let me just cut straight to the chase. Our today's guest is Miss Anne-Sophie Herlin from the SAS Airlines, and I'm very honored and very happy that she's taking the time. Anne-Sophie, you're muted. You're still muted.
Okay.
Yeah, there we go. So thank you so much for taking your time out of the busy schedule today, Anne-Sophie. It's a pleasure having you here today.
Okay, and now I lost you.
Oh, you lost me?
Let's see, try again.
Oh, we'll get there. We'll get there. We'll get there. Do you hear me? Still not? Okay, no worries. In the meantime, we've already got, you know, it's phenomenal how many people are logging in today. It's really crazy. Number one is, I hope I pronounced the name correctly, Kwasim Nabi, welcome. Thank you so much, Kwasim, for joining us today, for being part of the show. Appreciate it. Thank you for taking your time. Of course, from Canada, we got Benita. Benita.
Okay, now.
Perfecto. Perfecto. There we go. Fantastic.
I don't hear you.
Oh, still not? Still not? I'll just proceed. In the meantime, we've also got from Manchester, Hakim Mohammed. Hakim, thank you also for joining us today, for taking your time. Appreciate it. then of course, longtime follower and part of the audience, John. John, welcome and a good morning or good afternoon to Virginia. Appreciate it. Thank you for taking your time and joining us today. Then we've got Carl CJ Eunice. Good morning, Carl. Thank you as well for taking your time. Fantastic how many people are looking in today. This is really great. Then we have, from Dubai, we have Mr. Mohammed Azad. Mohammed, thank you so much for joining, for taking your time. I highly appreciate it. And I hope we can get the technical issue fixed with Anne-Sophie. Still not, it seems. Maybe, let's see if we can hear her. Maybe this works. Okay, and Sophie, you're muted, unfortunately. Maybe otherwise try to re-log in. Sometimes that'll work. It's no problem. And we have someone here from Spain, Christina. Greetings to Barcelona. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate it. And today, basically, what we're going to talk about, because as you know, there are quite a decent amount of planes in the sky. So wait, let me just try this one here. If you've been following my post on LinkedIn, where I post frequently, by the way, under the hashtag Planet Logistics. So if you wanted to stay up to date and you want to follow on whatever's going on, right? I think this will work. Follow hashtag Planet Logistics on LinkedIn. And it seems that Anne-Sophie is now back with us.
Okay, hello.
Perfecto, Anne-Sophie, finally.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm fine. Finally.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Glad that you made it, and thank you also for sharing with us some time out of your busy schedule. We highly appreciate it.
Yeah. And so let's get started.
let's cut the chase. Let's jump right into it. Maybe you can do a little bit of an introduction to the audience so that everybody knows who you are and why you are the expert on today's topic.
Yeah, so my name is Anne-Sophie Herlin. I'm head of sustainability at SAS, Scandinavian Airlines. I have been in the aviation and sustainability for almost 10 years now. But I would say sustainability is the red or green thread in my career. Mm-hmm. So that's what I've been working on most, but aviation is what kept me, it's closest to my heart. And I would say mostly because we have a real challenge, and also that we can see the solution and the industry is working so close together, which is so, it's so inspiring.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So at Scandinavian Airlines, we have been working with sustainability a long time, almost 25 years from the beginning. We are talking about, fuel saving, of course, it's also mm-hmm. cost saving, but also since we are in the Scandinavian countries, the sustainability agenda have been high for a long time now.
Right. So that's basically, you're already prepared. Just thinking about it, if you're already 10 years into the sustainability aspect of aviation, that's really fantastic. Let's be real. Back then, most of whether it's airlines, freight forwarders, BCOs, whatever, no one was talking really about sustainability, right? It was just, hey, show me the price. Okay, boom, there you go, or you're out, right?
Yeah.
Let's be real.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. But and as you already alluded to, Anne-Sophie, now on a global scale, each and everybody is sitting in the same boat, and we are all facing some tremendous challenges. And of course, you know, all day long you hear all sorts of different approaches, you know, and also some different theories, whether it's things like, okay, we have to cut back on traveling, and it's best to, you know, don't fly at all, and we gotta do everything local again, you know, don't really import, export, which, you know, let's be real, that's not really how our world operates, right? So I'm really glad that there are some or there is some light on the future, on the horizon, so to speak, a light of hope. And also, by the way, it's fantastic what is possible with engineering these days. That's just as a side note. But
yeah, for sure. And I think also, I mean, discussing sustainability and aviation, we can't forget what we are actually. What we are giving back to the society. I mean, we have positive sustainability as well. Creating business, we are getting people together. And I think we should be more proud of what we are actually contributing to the world.
Correct. Yeah, I'm absolutely with you. I mean, it's not just transportation or leisure travel, so to speak, right? But also think of it this way. If there is somewhere, let's say, an earthquake or something horrible like this, you know, how do you get goods in? How do you get doctors in? How do you get medical supplies, et cetera?
And I think we are talking a lot about journeys that matter. And it's not up to us to say what journeys matter to you, because only you can know what's matter to you. It could be meeting a family for the first time for a couple of years. And don't forget what the pandemic needed the aviation industry for, vaccines and medical resources and everything. So, yeah, we are important, and we should be proud, more proud.
Yes. Absolutely.
But of course, with that said, we have to show the solutions.
Correct. So one thing that, you know, whenever you're looking into air freight and you're reading some articles here and there, now and then you also come across this very, you know, cryptic looking word, SAF, you know, and of course it means sustainable aviation fuel, but no one is really able to tell you what it is, because whenever you read in an article, it's just like, okay, yeah, we use it. But, and of course, I don't want any technical formula on that, but I just want to make sure that the audience, especially if they're not reading so much, or if they're not as deep in the industry as you and I are.
Do you mind if you have a chat coming up?
yeah. that's fine. Just to get everybody on the same page, could you give a little bit of, you know, of a like a summary, like what is this magical stuff actually, you know?
Yes, so SAF is today, I would say SAF is a biofuel, meaning that it is a fuel, it's a drop-in fuel with the same characteristic as the jet A or the kerosene we are using. But it's made of biomass, which means that even if it's letting out CO2, it's CO2 that is in the recycling program or the photosynthesis. So it's built from one biological sources. Today you can see a lot from either used cooking oil or waste materials from the agricultural areas, like slaughter material, animal fat, actually.
Wow.
And that's what's used today. But it's also including fuel made from waste materials, or you can see carbon capture coming up in a couple of years, something that is called e-fuels. And it's, which is, what we are doing is actually reducing the fossil fuel use and reducing CO2 in that doing. So I would say it is kind of wide, as you can see in the world, sustainable aviation fuel with a point of sustainable. We know that we are an industry that are on the point, so to say. So we need to find fuel that are made sustainable, and that's meaning also using what we are using as waste materials, to producing it must be sustainable and not, it would be aligned with the sustainability demands of the industry. So, for example, we are not using palm oil or something else that compete with edible products.
Wow, fantastic. And again, just as a side note, I'm just by what you alluded to, I'm really impressed what is possible given the modern day's technology, right? I mean, just think about it. Think about it. One day you fry some, let's say, potatoes in your frying pan, and next thing you know, next time you hop on a plane, boom, it's fueled with it or with the residues of it. That's, to me, that's really mind blowing. That's really so chapeau on that. okay, so I appreciate that. And can you also give us a little insight of, like, is this like a new product at SAS, or is this something that you've been using now maybe a little bit longer than just 3 weeks? So.
But we have been using it. Actually, we made our first biofuel flight already in 2014. And that was a blended fuel, a mixture of regular fuel and blending. And it was two flight, actually, one in Sweden and one in Norway. Of course, to show that this is possible, there was a lot of scarcity in that. It's still a scarce product, but at that kind it was a special delivery. But since 2019, we have been offering SAF to our customer to add it as a travel extra on all our flights. And that was 2019. And then you know what happened with the pandemic and everything.
Yeah, right.
But we have continued to introduce a different program. The corporate sustainability program is an offer to our corporate customers, I would say, business or cargo customers, to be able to buy SAF per year and to their through their flights. And this year we introduced the biofuel tickets. That means that we have a mix-in of biofuel. You buy a special ticket so you know that you will have a blend-in of SAF for that travel.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
But I would also add to that we are in the Nordics, in Sweden and Norway have a mandate. So with that said, we have been using it for at least regularly a couple of years.
Wow. So you basically already did like the pioneering or the frontline work, right? So it's not just some nice headline, but it's actually really tested on
yeah, this.
Wow.
And I think maybe that's what we stand for. I mean, we want to be a driving force in sustainable aviation and testing and trying out new solution and inspire our industry. It's what we are best on. So.
And that's fantastic. And I think if I'm allowed to say that, I think you're doing a fantastic job on being that beacon in the industry, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You already alluded a little bit to, but since this is also podcast dedicated to logistics, is the SAF option or the sustainable option or options, better to say, are those available for passenger flights or cargo within bellies of passengers flight only, or also for, you know, like freighters, et cetera, something like that? Is that also possible?
Actually, I would say, as I mentioned, the corporate sustainability program, it actually started with our cargo or the freight program we have, since cargo customers asked for a solution to be able to send their freight in a CO2 with less CO2 or carbon emission to their products, sort of.
Wow.
So that's definitely an interesting case, and it's also an easier way. So, say the cargo customer, they usually have another customer that are asking for this option, and I think it's actually a really good possibility to move this needle with the cargo customers.
Wow, I mean, brilliant, especially if the demand is there. I mean, what better is there to it, right?
Yeah, No, but then again, the cargo customers, we don't talk a lot about that. It's like shipping, it's kind of an anonymous
Yes.
customer, but very important, and are actually moving ahead quite fast.
Wow. And oh yeah, we got a comment from the audience. Let me just pull this up real quick here. John is asking, does it take a significant engine redesign to use biofuel instead of JP8 and the like?
No, that's the great thing about SAF. It's actually a drop-in fuel, as we say, and that means that we just mix it. We can just mix in up to 50% at this time to use in our engines, but it's just mixture with a normal kerosene and using on any engine today. All aircraft manufacturers are certified to use SAF today. So that's the great part, and make it very, very useful.
And also very easy because, if you think about it, although I have to pivot a little bit now in the topic, but if you take a look on big ocean freight vessels, which of course is not your topic, I know that, but just for a sake of comparison here, sometimes when they're now developing like 100% usage of whether it's LNG gas, whether it's methanol, whether it's ammonia, hydrogen, whatever, they basically have to redesign the whole engine and start from scratch. And with the solution that you just alluded to, I mean, that makes it so much more easier and convenient, not only to offer it, but also to, execute it, right?
Definitely. It's yeah,
In theory.
it should be easier, but still we have a scarce volumes, but still, I mean, it is much easier. Of course, to use it is e definitely easier when you don't
Great.
have to change
Yeah.
engines or anything. Thank you for the
Perfect.
question.
John, as always, appreciate it. John is always very, very, motivated, and he has some fantastic question whenever he's as a guest in the audience. So, John, thank you so much for that great question. And let me also go ahead with another one, because you also mentioned, you're offering those the corporate packages, so to speak, and it's also used in the cargo a lot. And especially for Europe these days, when everybody's talking about, hey, we're getting certified as a company for being sustainable, however you want to measure that, that's a whole nother question. But are you somewhat, like issuing certificates, for instance, and say, hey, look, you purchased, let's say, 100% SAF on all your cargo or personal flights, whatever. Boom. At the end of the year, you get somewhat like a certificate where you actually not like prove it, but confirm their engagements.
Yes, actually, we do prove it. We prove that we have fueled it in our system. And this is especially for the corporate customers that are using our sustainability program per year. We are actually giving them an audit report on the fuel, how much CO2 that was reduced. And the importance of this audit report is actually for them to be able to, at today you talk a lot about scope one and three, and this is actually for the company to reduce their scope three emission, which is emissions for their business travel, for example. And I think this will be increasingly interesting when more and more companies are committed to the science-based targets, where, for example, the ones that have a lot of scope three emissions, let's say consultants and banks that are, I mean, they don't have a factory that are emitting carbon, but they are doing business flights and business travel. They need to reduce their emission, and this is a great way to do it. So we are working together with one of the great five auditors and having reports to the clients for this.
Wow. Fantastic. So you really have let's just call it like a holistic concept, so based what you're describing, it's just from A to Z, it's all there,
Yeah,
it's
at
like
least for that specific program, I hope to be able to do it also on the business or the green flights that we are actually selling online to any customers to see their reduction in CO2 in a trustworthy, really, and transparent way.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's also what most of the people are, or what, not most of the people, but what a lot of people in companies are concerned with. You know, they're like, hey, okay, everybody can write just some random numbers on a sheet of paper and call it an official document, right? But what you just alluded to, have it on a transparent level, you know, that just makes it really fantastic in my opinion. And we got another comment from John. John just wrote, I find more and more shippers and manufacturers that lower their carbon footprint look for logistics providers, parentheses, transportation, that are increasing their sustainability programs. What's your insight on that? Is that something that you're maybe also seeing, that you get maybe more requests and bookings from new players, so to speak?
Now, what I can see is definitely that there are an ask for less carbon, but still you want the service of aviation with a fast transport. So for sure, we can see that too.
Right. John, once again, appreciate the comment. Thank you for contributing to this episode, as always. Thank you, highly appreciate it, sir. And that also brings me to my next question. So obviously, as SAS and as a Scandinavian, or as the Scandinavian Airlines, this is your I just call it headquarter, so to speak. But do you offer, like, on all your flights and connection flights also the sustainable, the green flights, the SAF programs, or are you only, let's say, for instance, within Europe, or only on the transatlantic? Are there how can I put this, like different routes where you say, okay, on group A it's available, on B maybe just 50%, on C not at all yet?
So if you take a look at the biofuel ticket that I talked to, that we just launched, it is available in Europe, and with an extra cost of €20 for a domestic flight, and €35 for a European flight. We don't have it on the intercontinental flights yet, but as a corporate customer, as I said, you can definitely buy it. You can also add to your travel as an extra. After you bought the tickets, you can buy extra biofuel if you want to on your intercontinental flight. But with that said, it's very easy to say that, okay, so at every airport we are fueling SAF, but it's not that the way that it's working. It's more working like green electricity or fossil free electricity, that you are buying it from the energy company, but you don't know exactly that the electron coming into your socket is the green one. So it's somewhere in our system, somewhere in our network, it's fueled. And for now, we are fueling a lot from Stockholm and Oslo. But I would say in the future, it would be very interesting to fuel from the US with a large amount of production that are happening there.
Fantastic.
So we can offer it on any flights, but not exactly, in the tank. But still, it's the carbon emission to lower the carbon emission, it will happen in our network. So you're doing a good job. I think you need to look into carbon emission on a global scale, and especially we are a global industry, so for sure.
Right. Plus, we are also so connected, you know, with all globalization and everything. Each and every country is so connected to one and another, you know, and I absolutely agree that especially the climate challenge, you know, with everything that comes along with it, is something global, you know. So
And I think that's, I think we do have a challenge there for the aviation industry, and in regards of, different countries having a very high, taxations or high, high mandates. But maybe we need to look at it more globally. And the most important part is that we're lowering carbon emission. in the world.
So even
if a small country like Sweden are decreasing all of its carbon, it will not move the needle. So we need to, but on the other hand, we can be an inspiration, or we can export good innovations for the rest of the world.
And I think
so that's where I want to have the discussion, but yeah.
I hear you. But you're absolutely right with it at the end of the day. As I said, if you can become and be that beacon within the industry, I'm pretty sure that the other airlines, no matter where they are based in the world, might say, hey, that's actually a pretty good idea. You know what, we have to at the end of the day. It's not an if, but we have to. Maybe not adopt, but offer some similar ways, you know. And of course, there's not the right way or the right concept. I think there are a multitude of different aspects and different possibilities that one can utilize. But the way you're walking ahead as an airline, I think it's a role model, you know. Yeah. And that's exactly why we are coming together on this platform and sharing those positive and hopeful news, because at the end of the day, it's affecting each and everybody, you know, no matter where you are, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So, but yeah, that also brings me up with the next question, and maybe that's a little bit the tougher one, but you already, you know, alluded to the scarcity of, or the actual in this moment as we speak, scarcity of SAF. What do you think are, maybe let's say the top three, or maybe you have top five challenges for sustainable aviation that you see that we have to tackle on a global scale?
It's for sure the scarcity, the production capacity and availability of SAF is what is the biggest challenge at the moment, together with the price on SAF, which is almost 3 to 5 times more expensive than Jet A. Sometimes I get the question, why don't you just add on? you just mix, you have 50%. It's like, well, first of all, there are not the volumes. Mm-hmm. And second of all, for us, it would be a challenge to add it, and also just to add the cost. Mm-hmm. Because that would mean, at this moment we need to be, it's a competitive market, and we need to, if we will be 20 euros more expensive, that will mean we will lose a lot of customers, and that will do nothing for the climate. So that is a demand, absolutely a challenge. And looking forward, and how we discuss with the policymakers, especially in Europe, is that here in Europe we are looking, we are meeting a lot of sticks, and in compared to the US, where you have the Inflation Reduction Act, there that's where the carrots are, and it's a mismatch here, and maybe we need to see some subsidies, and especially for production of SAF here. And also directly to the airlines, it could be a different type of models, like direct on fueling, as you can see in the US. But here, maybe you can have subsidies in landing fees, and we will see also free allowances for SAF in the new EU directive. Mm-hmm. But it is a challenge to just keep up on the regulations as well, how we should handle it. And I think for now, to move faster than the mandates are demanding from us, we need help from our customers. So that's why I hope that more and more customers will choose a green fuel, a green flight for this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a very important point that you just touched base on, talking about, you know, all these bureaucracy, you know, the regulations, etc. I mean, I can only imagine the jungle that you must go through at the end of the day, you know, to A, have it certified, and also, you know, being able to use it. Mm-hmm. Let alone the incentives and maybe also subsidies as you already alluded to, because let's be real. I mean, it's still how the economy, no matter if it's just in Sweden, just in Europe, or globally, is working, right? If there's not much to be gained, why would anybody invest in a, let's say, very big industry park to, you know, produce tons and tons of stuff, especially if it's maybe not yet fully accepted on a global scale from all people and companies participating in the economy, right?
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, it is challenging, but a good solution. And what we can see, I mean, the industry have targets of reaching net zero carbon emission in 2050. And we can see that 60 to 70% of that will be from SAF. Since we know that the long routes will be demand on liquid fuel in the future as well. So yeah, I would say it's a high risk investment today, but in 10 years time we will it'll be a great investment. But for the real risk or venture capitalists.
Yeah, maybe that would be a better way for them to put their money instead of, you know, just supporting all sorts of different forwarders over COVID, you know, when they came up with all digital stuff, whatever. They would have put it better in a different way. But I think that's a whole different topic, I guess, right?
Yeah. No, but I think for sure. Let's see what's happening in the future.
Absolutely. I mean, is this also something just coming to my mind? Because especially for Europe and their ambitions, and plus I also think that we have the know-how somehow. You know, we also have the space, obviously. Which I think it would also make sense, just in case someone from the European Parliament is listening. Huh? Yeah. But just in case someone is tuning in today, maybe this is something that they can also utilize in order to, you know, create a whole new field of jobs, you know, like on a really, really big scale, because each and every country, just talking right now about Europe, has their own airline, at least one of them, you know. So, and at the end of the day, as you said, if we want to collectively move to a net zero, or let's just say to a more sustainable way of flying as a beginning, someone's got to produce this, right?
I think it's really important for each country, I mean, or the whole of Europe to look into how to be more independent on fuel supply. That's one sure thing you can see today already. Mm-hmm. But it is the volumes we need. And I think the biggest challenge today, or the highest risk, is actually it's billions to be invested in production units, and what we can see in the US is that the subsidy is going to the production unit, meaning that private investor dare to go in. So if you have a 50% support of the European Investment Fund, and then the rest can come from private investor, then you make it interesting. So, but also for each country to be independent on energy supply. We have seen that for the last year or so. I think that's something to look into.
Yes, that's a very good point. That's all points that you've been making in your last statement are absolutely true, but especially the energy/fuel dependency is quite high, especially in Europe. The US is on a different path, but for us, it's I'm right now in Germany. I mean, yeah, I see it firsthand. You know, you basically read it each and every day in the newspaper. So that's, as you said, indeed something to look into, something to develop on, because I think this will helping each and everybody. A, not just the climate, but B, also the whole, micro and macro economics as well, from countries up to the whole European continent. Definitely. Yep. Definitely. Appreciate it. Thank you. If you, I know it's hard, and I know you don't have a crystal ball either. I don't have one either as well. But if we do some brainstorming, you know, if you would say, hey, if I can paint the air freight market of the future today, and let's just say maybe 5 years or 10 years from now, how would your canvas look like? Can you walk us a little bit through the picture that you're painting?
Yeah, I would say SAF is a very important step, or it's also available already today. In 10 years' time, I would say it would be really interesting to see what happened with drone transport, electrical transport. All of a sudden, aviation is the most sustainable way to transport goods. That would be a really interesting twist. And of course, we do see electric aircraft also for passengers, but I would say mostly for cargo, sorry. Then something very interesting we're looking into as well is what's happening in the hydrogen as a fuel, but then you need a totally new type of aircraft and other. There would be other challenges with the infrastructure and on airports, but maybe you can see airports pair flying with hydrogen between the larger or the longer routes, the last mile or the last miles, you have electric aircraft or drones or whatever. So I think that is super exciting. And but we know what is different from the aviation industry is that we know the way forward. We know we have SAF, electric, hydrogen as options. compared to road transportation, they are still fumbling around what route to take but we are still again saying that it's not one solution, it's several, and it's going to be so interesting to see where we are. But I think especially looking into being the most sustainable way to transport goods, that is. It'd be so great if we can reach that.
Absolutely, I'm with you. And funny that you bring this up, because that's something that I heard on a different podcast, I think a year ago. There were some professors, I believe, from Switzerland, and they were doing, you know, a study on transportation, whether A, it's goods or cargo, and B, also on passenger or with passengers, and they used, you know, not just the pure emission, like from a car, from a truck, from a vessel, from an airplane, but in fact, they were using, how can I put it? Like the whole mode of transport, meaning they also included manufacturing and emissions thereof. They also included infrastructure and the emissions thereof. And interestingly enough, under a very big bottom line, so to speak, air freight proved to be the most efficient, at least on paper. Why? Number one, simply because you don't need any streets or something like that. You know, you need one street to take off and one to land. But unless for cars, for instance, you don't need to pave everything, you know, three times a year because so much traffic is going through it. At the same time, comparing to railroad, you don't need, you know, those iron tracks and the electric cable. That's also gone. Plus, what I found also pretty interesting is an airplane, especially on longer distances, they only accelerate once when they're taken off, and they are only braking once when they're landing, you know. Now, of course, maybe they have some little bit of acceleration in between, or, you know, granted. But this was something pretty interestingly to me, because I've never heard about it from this perspective, you know.
No, so, it's really interesting to when you discuss the whole perspective on sustainable travel or cargo, for example. But I heard something similar where they are testing. I mean, comparing electric cars with train and flights. Mm-hmm. And it's like, because you have a responsibility as an employer. Also, right. So your employee needs to travel safe. Okay, so then this away with the electric car because it's not safe. And then you have train and training aviation, and then you have to compare how is the electricity produced. And then again, can your employer work on their travel, and are you asking your employee to travel on a Sunday? Is that okay? So there's so many aspects on a sustainable travel policy. So I think
right.
Yeah, we need to be more proud, as I said from the beginning.
Yes. Like,
we are doing good things, and especially now when we can offer fossil free flights, we are taking a step on in the right direction to have a net zero aviation industry.
Absolutely, I also agree, and I think it's a one step at a time journey. You know, it's not like a sprint where you're like, okay, we need this by tomorrow, you know, up and running, because I do believe that there will be also now and then some adjustments made, you know, maybe on the supplier side, as you already alluded to, maybe on the infrastructure side, who knows, right? Whatever. But each small step that we take will benefit in the long run everybody, literally everybody, you know?
Yeah.
And that's a really fantastic thing. And I also think that, as you also alluded to, we are living in such interesting times these days, where we are literally we are able to shape, maybe a little bit, but to shape the future and to design the future alike, you know, and each contributing their own part to it. You know, and that's what makes it so fascinating, also for me, just to read about it. You know, first time I read about SAF, I'm like, whoa, okay, crazy. Whoa, what's going on? Okay, didn't know that. Because let's be real, most of the time, those are topics that are not really shared and discussed in the public. So many people, you know, are still believing, oh, yeah, okay, you have to use kerosene by definition to fly, which... Again, yes, of course, you need it due to the sheer amount of planes and demand for it now. But it's not the, okay, either kerosene or no flight at all. That's just not right, right? Yeah. Especially after talking with you and reading the business offers that you alluded to, you know, this is something unique and this is something great. And I think this should also be more shared. And as you said, with a positive way, like, hey, look what we've already accomplished now.
Mm.
How proud everybody can be, especially you guys, when you said that, you know, you're using it more or less since 2014, if I recall.
Mm.
Wow. I mean, this is phenomenal. It really is phenomenal in my opinion.
Yeah. We just need to get the volumes up as well, but that's we need to do together. Yeah, I think it's a joint effort, and I think that's what we are so good in this industry, is to work together. We can learn and we can move mountains. We have done that before, and we will do it here as well.
So. Right. Yeah, I'm absolutely confident. That's I like the optimism in it, because I'm thinking the same way. And we're not alone, Anne-Sophie, because John said we would have to collaborate globally for continued sustainability. And John, you're absolutely right, sir.
Yeah. Yeah.
This really is the key. And as always, appreciate the comment. But interestingly enough, you see also more, you know, of the big, at the moment, fossil fuel manufacturers, they are also going to explore different ways to produce all sorts of different fuel, whether for air fuel, whether for vessels, for cars, you know. So I wouldn't be surprised if someone... If a big corporation like this at one day comes around the corner and says, okay, you know what, boom, here we go.
Yeah.
We are open up one big plant.
Yeah, I would. It's not even in a crystal ball. I think they already have the site too.
Yeah, probably.
yeah, for sure. They are understanding that they need to be on the road to a carbon-free future. So that's great. I think that's a great news.
Perfect, perfect. And maybe, who knows, maybe someone who's working at one of such corporations is listening to us today. Or as a side note, everybody is able to listen to these episodes on YouTube and Spotify, amongst other. But let's just assume that someone from such gigantic companies is listening or is going to listen to us today. And thinking, wow, what they are saying, okay, amazing. I wanna contribute. You know, I wanna start producing or ramping up my numbers on self production. How can they get in touch with you?
Oh, the easiest way is actually to go via our website. LinkedIn is also a great way to. I would say LinkedIn is the easiest way to find me. Or I have an email on our website, sasgroup.se. But I would reach out on LinkedIn. I'm curious to hear about all news in the industry and all the ways we can take to be sustainable in our industry. So please reach out.
Fantastic. Appreciate it. And for each and everybody in the audience, if you know someone, a friend, family member, coworker, whatever, where you're like, yeah, he or she has to hear this episode, please feel free, share the link, and also make sure they connect with both Anne-Sophie and myself on LinkedIn to stay up to date with what's going on in the logistics industry. With that being said, since we are approaching the 1 hour, I want to take time real quick and want to thank everybody for taking the time for the very interesting questions that we've got, and especially to you, Anne-Sophie. I'm very honored that you took the time and that you are my guest today on the show. And I'm looking forward to see more fantastic ideas and pioneer work that you guys are doing. So once again, thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you.